Now let's just talk about wiping over socks in general. So obviously it's permissible on leather socks only, or socks which meet the characteristics of leather socks. And there's three qualities you need to look for. Number one, should be water resistant. Number two, they should be able to stand on their own with some form. And number three, you should be able to walk a good distance on them without tearing. And that's assumed sand, not concrete. Wiping on leather socks is permissible for both men and women. And what you do when you want to wipe over leather socks or anything similar to a leather sock is you first perform the entire wudu. You'll actually do a full wudu. Once you've done the wudu, then you put the sock on. So you need to be in a state of wudu before you put the sock on. I'm simplifying it a bit. There's some technicalities there, but you need to be in a state of wudu essentially before you put the sock on. Once you put the sock on, then that sock is good for 24 hours if you are in your home or in your residence. And if you're a traveler, then that sock is good for 72 hours, 3 days and three nights. Now, what do we mean by 24 hours? What that means is, once you put the sock on, if you keep that sock on, the moment you break your wudu, the 24-hour clock begins ticking. The moment you break your wudu. So, for example, you put on a sock, you wake up in the morning, you pray, you make wudu, you put on a sock before you go to the masjid, and then you pray fajr in the masjid, and then you drive to work, and then you go to work, and then you actually go pray dhuhr, you still haven't broken your wudu. After dhuhr at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you broke your wudu. Once you broke your wudu, then there is 24 hours, the clock begins ticking, and there are 24 hours during which time you can wipe over those socks. Once 24 hours expires, then you have to remove the sock. Now, some of the students, and I was actually discussing this in the morning with some people. There are some people who have mentioned that actually the time doesn't start with the breaking of the wudu, but the time starts with the actual wiping, or the time starts with putting on the sock. And actually there's some ikhtilaf here and there. For example, Hassan al-Basri used to say that it starts with the time of putting on the sock. And other ulama say it starts with the time of actually wiping the sock, the first time you actually wipe the sock. But I just looked it up in Hidayah. It was written in Hidayah that it starts with the time of the hadath, the time that you actually break your wudu. So let's just use that as a standard for this particular class. If you want, you can ask your local scholar, and you can confirm this. I may be mistaken, that may not be Muftavihi, but that's the source that I had available to look up right now once the issue was raised. And I mean, I looked in three or four different books, and it was written the same way in each of those books, in Quduri, in Hidayah, and one other book. But anyway, so there basically it's 24 hours from the time in which your wudu breaks. So again, if your wudu breaks at 2 o'clock, then you can wear those socks for 24 hours. Now, when you're making wudu with socks, what you'll do is, let's say you put your sock on in a state of wudu and now you want to wipe over it. The way you're going to wipe over it is that you will wet your hands, like you'll do the whole wudu, you'll perform the whole wudu, and then when it comes to the time to wash the feet, instead of washing the feet, you'll simply wet your hands, you take three fingers and you run them over the top of the sock, just over the top of the sock, beginning at the toes and wiping up to the shin. The minimum distance is the width of three fingers. So if you even just did that and just touched the sock with three fingers, you technically would have completed your wiping. But the sunnah is to begin at the toes and wipe all the way up to the shin. So this is actually a very interesting concept, because you would think that you would wipe on the bottom of the sock, because that's the part that's actually quote unquote walking on the ground and this and that. But a lot of times things within the Sharia are not necessarily rational. And that just highlights the fact that it's the law of Allah. We don't make it up with our own mind. And an excellent example is just think about the things that break wudu. I mean, how unique is wudu that after you pass wind, you wash everything except the place that the wind was passed from, and you renew your wudu, right? So if you have wudu and you pass wind, then you have to wash your arms, your face, wipe your head, wash your feet, but you don't have to wash the area where the wind was passed from. So it goes to show you that sometimes it's not really based on, we don't rationally come up with these laws, but that's the way Allah made it, and we're servants. When you're a servant, you don't ask a question, you just do it. That's part of being a servant. This really highlights some important concepts within the deen, that is that our primary source in the deen is the Qur'an and the Sunnah. That's how we come up with these laws. They're derived from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. The actual ability to wipe on the sock can expire with two things. One is if you remove the sock, or two is with the expiration of the 24-hour period, for example, if you're muqeem, if you're a resident, or 72 hours if you're a traveler. Now, the next thing to keep in mind is that if you, for example, if your sock expires, the time of your sock expires and you're in a state of wudu, the only thing you have to do is wash your feet and then you can replace the sock on your foot. So if the time expires and you're in a state of wudu, you just go ahead and take the sock off, wash your foot, and put it back on. The last thing that comes under this discussion is masha over the turban, the cap, the veil, if a woman wears a veil, over gloves, if a woman wears a glove. And again, now there are various ahadith in the collection of hadith which talk about the Prophet ﷺ wiping over a turban. The thing is, the exact same issue that we talked about with leather socks. The Quran is saying you have to wipe your head, clear cut, with certainty. And the hadith where it speak of the Prophet ﷺ wiping over the turban, they are not at the level of the Quran in proof. They are single transmissions. They might be sahih, but they are single transmissions, and so therefore they cannot equate with the level of the Holy Quran. Therefore, we do not permit wiping over the turban, for example. Then the question should be, well, how can we have some sahih hadith which allow you to wipe over it, which would say the Prophet ﷺ wiped over a turban? Well, our answer will be twofold. Number one, the Prophet ﷺ, most of the time when he made wudu, already had a state of wudu. He used to make wudu upon wudu. So number one, we'll say that those narrations actually refer to a time when the Prophet ﷺ already had wudu, and so he was just washing body parts in order to renew the wudu, and when it came to the turban, he would just simply wipe over it because he already was in a state of wudu, so it wasn't necessary to wipe the one for. That's the first answer we would give. The second answer we would give is that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would wipe over the turban, would wipe like this, a little bit of the head and the rest of the turban. And don't forget, only one fourth of the head is mandatory, correct? So that's the two ways that we'll explain those hadith in order for everything to fit in the picture together. The ayah and the hadith. Everything has to fit together. You know, it's not that we're going to reject that hadith, but we're going to say the ayah is dominant. The ayah is qati. So many sahaba from so many different chains of transmission on so many different occasions are narrating this ayah, whereas these hadith are not as common. A few sahaba may have narrated them, and so therefore the Quran takes dominance. And we'll explain the hadith in light of the Quran. The last thing is that there, in the case of, for example, there's another issue of wiping, and that is wiping over a cast or wiping over a bandage. You have a wound and you actually have like a cloth covering it. So in those cases, if let's say you have a cast and you need to perform wudu, then all you do is wipe over the entire cast. Now the big question people will have, and they'll call me and they'll say, well, I need to get a cast. Should I do wudu before I put the cast on? Right? Because in the case of a sock, you have to have wudu before you put the sock on. Or if they get the cast on, they say, should I get my cast cut and make wudu and then get the cast put back on? And the answer is you don't have to be in a state of wudu for the sake of the cast. Only for the sock. Only for the leather sock. So if you have a cast on, whether you were in a state of wudu or you weren't in a state of wudu, you can wipe over that cast. Same thing if you have like some sort of bandage or something covering a wound. Now keep in mind that sometimes we put on a band-aid or something like that in order to cover a wound which really doesn't need to be covered. So somebody, for example, will, you know, press like a pimple and something will come out and they don't want anyone to see it, so they put a band-aid on it, but it does, you know, water wouldn't harm it at all. In that case, you have to wash what's underneath the band-aid. You're only permitted to wipe over that bandage when it would harm you if you removed it. Okay? So keep that in mind. That's a mistake that people might make which could potentially interfere with our performance of wudu.